If you take your Bibles tonight and open them to Ephesians chapter 2, as we continue our study called Foundations, Firm Foundations, Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22 tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Paul says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Father, I come to you tonight and I ask, Lord, that you will speak to us by your word. Lord, there's so many incredible things that we can learn as we open up your word and we hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us. And Lord, you want us to see that there's so much more than just existing in this world. You truly want to live through us. You truly want your Holy Spirit to be free to move us and to speak to us and to lead us in the places that we ought to go. And I pray, Father, you'll speak to all of us tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, as he's addressing the church at Ephesus, he makes this little reminder to them. The first part of verse 19 says, consequently. In other words, it's almost, he uses the word therefore so much that you would think that'd probably also be here. But he'd already used therefore just in a couple of passages, but right above it. He said, therefore, remember formerly who you were. Who you are, Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. And he's speaking to them saying, listen, you used to be called all kinds of names and you didn't feel like you were even a part. But now you are one in Christ. God has brought us all together. Consequently, verse 19 says, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You see, the walls are torn down between God and us. And I'm so glad. When was the wall built? When Adam and Eve sinned. And they were pushed out of the garden. And therefore, there was not an ability anymore to be in the presence of God because God does not allow sin in his presence. But Paul says the walls are now torn down between God and me. Consequently, I can have a relationship with him. And it's not only torn down between God and me, the walls are also torn down between me and others. There's no walls that are there anymore except those that we allow to be there. And so Paul's saying, listen, you're not who you used to be. You've been changed from the inside out. God has changed you completely. And so he's calling us to act like that. And I think a lot of times we act like we're different than other people, and we have to kind of keep them at arm's length or whatever else. And the only time when we do that, the only type thing we look like is like the Pharisees. So he says, consequently, then he goes on to say, you are no longer foreigners. You are fellow citizens. Now, what that means is that we are now God's people. We are members of God's household. We are built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So we're no longer on the outside. We're no longer outside looking in, wishing that we could be a part of the body of Christ. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. When he died on the cross and paid for our sins, there's nothing, the scripture says, that now stands between us and him. We are redeemed by his blood. We were adopted by God as his children. And we were brought into the household of God. Now, a lot of times people think, well, the Jews are God's people. They are. But so are we. In fact, Paul had mentioned in the letter to the church at Rome, you know, I'm going out to preach both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Because everybody needs to know the truth, and everybody has an opportunity to no longer be outside, but to be brought in, members of the household. The Greek term for that is oikios, which means related by blood. Did you know you're related by blood to Jesus? Did you know that? You know how I know that? Because He shed His blood for me. And that's what made me a part of the body of Christ. It was His blood that was shed. We are more than just stepchildren. We are blood-bought children of the King. I think a lot of people kind of don't know how to take God because they feel like they got to walk on eggshells and be sure they're doing everything exactly right around Him. That's not what God wants. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to follow Him and to listen to Him and have communion with Him and abide in Him. We are now blood related to Jesus because of His blood. We were once alienated. We were foreigners, strangers, lost. That's what we once were without Christ. This is why God's grace is so amazing. You see, but for God's grace, we would all be lost. But for His grace, we would never know the love of God. But for His grace, we would not have eternal life with Him in heaven. We have a place in His body right now. In fact, Paul even mentions it later in one of his letters. He says, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. You see, what Paul is saying is this is being in Christ. It's understanding that we are no longer outside the gate. We are no longer being held at arm's length. We are no longer on the other side of the wall that God built because of sin. Because what Jesus did was He smashed the wall and He says, you're welcome to come in. You're welcome to come back into fellowship with God. So being in Christ, it's because of God's will. He chose to offer this to anyone who would come. It was by His power. No one else could do this. There was no one who had never sinned. There was no one whose blood would satisfy God except Jesus Christ. By His own death on the cross. Now, I think a lot of times we think, well, you know, Jesus knew going into all of this, and He did, because He knows everything. But the reason He could do this is because He knew He was going to come alive again. So, hey, that's not that big a deal. If you know you're going to die and you're going to be alive again, it's not a big deal. It is a huge deal. Because it wasn't only the pain that He went through on the cross. It wasn't only the separation from that fellowship with the Father. It was carrying the sins of the whole world upon Himself. And the Scripture says, He who knew no sin became sin for us. What a step that was for Him to do for us. Does that relate to you as love? It sure does to me. By His blood, we were brought in. We are truly at home in Him. You know what it feels like to be at home? You know, when I was growing up, we used to sing this old hymn that says, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I'm starting to feel more and more like that myself. But there's just something about knowing where home is. Well, home is this. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will doubtless come again and take you to be with me where I am. And so Paul's saying, listen, it is by being in Christ, and we are now related to each other. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Now, I think we hear those terms and we think about them probably on a shallow level. But when the Scripture says we are now the body of Christ, it means we are what people see. And we are the ones who are to take out, that's what the body does, it moves, it goes places, it does what it needs to do. We are the body. And so as the body, we are the called out ones. And what are we called out to do? We are called out to go and to save people and tell them about God's grace for them. He's chosen to save and to forgive and now use us as His mouthpieces, His body. And because we are related together and because we are all part of the body of Christ, each one of us must do our due, our duty. We need to do what we're supposed to do. And some people say, well, I don't know how to tell people about Jesus. Why? If you know Jesus, you know how to tell somebody about Him, because they get Him the same way you get Him. Nothing specific for, only certain people will get it this way. So, no. Everyone has to come to a point of repentance in their life and choose to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and believe that He died on the cross for them and He rose again, and they need to call upon Him for salvation. And that's just the bottom line. And people are so afraid, I don't know if I say it right, I might get something mixed up or what. If you can't even tell somebody how you got saved, you might want to check your salvation out. Then the last part of verse 19 through 22, we see Paul talking about Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Look, it says this. We are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of it all. He is the one that everything is built upon. The cornerstone is so set that all things are made square with it. If it's not right, nothing else is going to be right. Guess what? He is right. And if we will build on Him as our cornerstone, then all things will line up. The Greek term is and it's interesting that a lot of architects use this word in their handouts and stuff. The Greek term is agronaios. It's literally made of two Greek terms, akron, which means highest or extreme, and gonia, which is the angle of the corner. In other words, the highest degree of perfection has to be on the cornerstone. If it's perfect, then everything else lines up with it and it's perfect as well. If we build upon the cornerstone, it's never changing and perfect. But if we follow Him and stay in line with Him, then nothing can shake us. Nothing can make us crumble. Nothing can make us fall. He's the foundation of it all. And He is building His body, the church. He's not building us personally. The Holy Spirit certainly comes alongside and encourages us and shows us the way that we ought to go. But what we're doing is building upon Him. He's the foundation. It's been laid by those who came before us and proclaimed the coming of the Lord. He's the cornerstone that the foundation is then built around. The cornerstone is set. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together. And because of that, it becomes a holy temple in the Lord. Why? Because He's holy. If we build it upon Him, and we do what He says, and we hear Him, and we follow Him, and we stay in line with Him, and on track with Him, then everything else is going to be right. If you ever go through times in your life where things feel like they're kind of out of kilter, go back to the cornerstone. If you feel down or wonder what is God doing, why don't I hear Him when I talk? Go back to the cornerstone. Anytime we get out of line, we're going to miss where we're supposed to be. Back in high school, I used to love geometry. I didn't like algebra that much. I did okay in it, but I just didn't like it because I'm a visual learner and geometry is for visual learners. And I could see the angles and I could understand the triangles and the trapezoids and all those things and figure out what the area of it was and all those things that you had to memorize, but just make sure that you had it right, because if you knew what the formula was, it was always going to come out right. Always. Now, when you think about Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve were in line with God. Every day they were in the garden and they were fellowshipping with Him and they were in line with Him. Now, when Satan comes along and he tempts them, he doesn't just blatantly say, "You don't need to listen to God. You can do anything you want to do." What would happen? Of course they would go, "No, that's not right." But when he said, "Did he really say that you can't eat of that tree?" Just a little thing, just a little off. So if you have two lines that are parallel, they're always going to be exactly the same, no matter how far they go. But if they're just off a little bit, they're really close at the bottom. But when you get on out there, they could be miles and miles and miles apart. Satan likes to use those little bitty things in our life and say, "You know, it's not that important. You know, yeah, it's in God's Word, but you know, He's lenient. He's going to, you know, we are built upon the cornerstone. And anytime we vary from that, we're going to miss exactly what God wants for us. We are His body, the church. The cornerstone set. We become the holy temple in the Lord, the Scripture tells us. And by the way, look at what it says in the first part of verse 22. "And in Him, you two are being built together." In Him. He's the builder. He joined us together. The joined and became passive, joined and became are passive verbs here. In other words, this means it's being done to us, not something that we do, but something that He does. He is the one who will help us line up. We can't necessarily just go, "I'm going to be perfect." How does that work for you? Doesn't work that well. But what happens is once we say, I can't be perfect, but I can follow You, Jesus. And as I follow Your footsteps, and as I follow Your statutes, and as I follow Your law, then everything else will sync up. In fact, He said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to you as well." He is placing every brick in its proper place. You know He's got His hand upon you. And He's put you in a place that He wants to use you. And you might say, "Well, I don't like it right here. I'd like to be over here. It's more noticeable. People would see me more over here." He says, "No, I want you right here. I have a place for you right here. It fits perfectly." You might be wondering, "Well, where do I fit in? Does God have a place and a purpose for me?" Absolutely. You know why I know that? Because He is the chief cornerstone. And He is the builder. And He will put everything together. And when God does something, He does it perfectly. So He's not going to put you in a place that won't work. You ever done jigsaw puzzles? Like big ones? 1,000-piece ones? And man, you take those little pieces and you start trying to shove it in. It doesn't work. It one little piece of it fits in there, but then it doesn't fit on the other side. You know, that's kind of like us. We want to fit in there. That's kind of where we would like to be because we're really close to somebody we like. And we want to do those things. And you say, "Well, no, wait a minute. I've got a spot right here for you and it's perfect for you." Because God does only perfect things. And then look at the last part of verse 22. "In Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." See, God's building His own house. Now, I asked this question a couple days ago in a devotional. I said, "Where does God live? Where does He live?" Some people say, "Oh, God lives in heaven." Does He? God's everywhere. He doesn't have a specific place that He goes and lays down and goes to sleep because He never sleeps. He doesn't have a 3-car garage that He pulls His Lamborghini into. God doesn't have a place. He has a people that He dwells in. We are His dwelling place. We are His temple. We are built together, piece by piece, person by person. And not only does He live in us individually, but there's a sense here of a corporate dwelling. What I mean by that is that every single person is a part of His dwelling place. He wants to dwell in all of us. Does God feel at home here? Does God feel at home in your heart? Does God feel at home in your life? I want God to feel at home here. I think sometimes He doesn't feel at home here because I'm not listening to Him or I'm doing my own thing or whatever. And that doesn't suit Him. And it doesn't honor Him. He desires for us to seek His face, to stay in and abide in Him and listen to Him and truly live in Him, so that His life will show through us, built upon that chief cornerstone. No variation, no variance, no differences in angles, built upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us be where we need to be and do what we need to do, but more importantly, live in Your presence, lined up with Your purpose and with Your plan, not ours, so that, Lord, others can see the building being built and they can see the glory of God and they can realize that You are here amongst us. Each one of us a part of the body of Christ. Help us to be so, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.